Ever wonder if there's more to the movies you love? Do you like to ponder how they got from A to Z? Who chose the plot twists? Why use those characters? Is there a deeper meaning? We're here to explore those questions and maybe learn a bit along the way. VGB Studios proudly presents The Film Philosophers.
One game. Don't make me come get you.
Ron Kala.
I just can't stop thinking that maybe he's out there somewhere. Player one ready.
Ron Kala
kind of looks like
my brother.
I'm coming for you, Jake. Where are we? What is going on?
Everything in Ron Kala is designed to kill you.
Incoming!
And welcome to another fantastic episode of The Film Philosophers. I am your host, Spencer Williams, and with me today, as always, is my annoyance of a co-host, Eddie Villanueva. How you doing, buddy?
What is up? I give you the mic for 2 seconds, and you insult me.
What? What do you think you do every week on this podcast?
I love you.
Oh, my gosh. Well, today, everyone, we're talking about a movie called The Final Level, Escaping Ron Kala, and it's a doozy of a movie. So, Eddie, why don't you give him those opening credits?
Well, speaking of doozies, tune in each and every Wednesday morning on all your favorite streaming platforms and all of our website at filmlosophers.com. You can also connect with us on social pages at facebook.com/filmlosophers and on Twitter and Instagram at filmlosophy101.
Sweet. All right, yeah. So, as I said, the movie we're reviewing today is The Final Level, Escaping Ron Kala. So, Eddie, why don't you give him the official synopsis?
Of course. When an arcade manager realizes her brother has been transported into a dangerous video game, she and her two best friends follow him into the virtual world, battling dangerous creatures and a warlord who will stop at nothing to keep them in the game and make them part of his army.
All right, this movie is directed by Kenyon Prince, and the film stars Jessica Chancellor, Bai Ling, Tiana Tuttle, Emily Sweet, and Brandon Root. So let's get the big question out of the way.
Well, hold on. Before we get into questions.
Okay.
So we've been going back and forth about this as to whether or not to do this because we may or may not have an opportunity next week to actually interview somebody on the cast of this film. And lo and behold, Spencer is one of the most B-moviest B-movie people I know. I have allowed him to drag me into several B-movies.
I mean, and he followed me, basically.
And one of the unique things about this particular film is it is produced by
The Asylum. They are a production company very well known for making the Sharknado movie series. So
among many others.
They've done so many things. Basically, anytime you've seen a movie where it's like, hey, this movie's ripping off this other movie I've seen, that's probably them. Not always, but probably.
No. It is usually always them. And so here's the thing. I do not really do well with B-movies. I think they're a ridicule upon every single cinematic masterpiece out there. And yet, I have allowed you to persuade me into watching several of the worst movies I've ever seen for the excitement and attraction that you have for B-movies. For instance, the one time that I let you talk me into watching a 2-hour and 45-minute movie that looked like it was done on MS Paint.
It did.
And it was horrendous.
It was.
And it still haunts me to this day.
Okay, but fun fact about me. Out of all of the ones that I've seen, that is literally the only one I regret going to see.
Really?
Yeah, just that one.
Yeah, but you made us watch it at the house.
Yes, that is where people watch movies
sometimes. It's like it robbed me of my time.
It did.
Like, literally, somebody stood up and walked away and said, well, I'm not getting that time back for my life.
You're not.
So,
it is non-refundable time. I'm sorry.
So, coming back around to The Final Level, Escaping Ron Kala, one of the conversations that you and I had was that we should give this film a shot and talk about it in a new series that we're going to do called Be Serious.
Mm-hmm.
Because of the fact that Spencer really loves B movies, and I'm more on the serious side of, like, I don't like them. I don't appreciate them. There's not much to appreciate.
But there's tons of things to appreciate.
If you want to see my, or if you want to hear how I perceive certain B movies, even at the height of their glory and fame, listen to our episode we did where we did the last Sharknado film and how upset and just utterly peeved I was that we were reviewing that movie, because honestly, it made no sense to me and I didn't want to see it. And yet we still saw it and we reviewed it, and you and I were the only two people who actually saw the movie, and it was frustrating to say the least.
I had fun.
Well, like, I don't care what you had. I know got frustrated. I know you don't care. And I was like, this movie is a pile of poo. And there's no other way around it. So I don't care what you say. I did not enjoy that movie.
Okay.
And so I say all that to say, coming back to this, when we decided we were gonna talk about this film, we were gonna have an opportunity to maybe talk to one of the cast members, I told Spence, I said, Spence, we're gonna watch this movie and then we should review it. And we saw the movie, and Spence's immediate thought is, we should not review this. And I told him, I said, you know what? For somebody who has such a big heart for B movies, you sure as heck ran really quick, turned tail, and decided, nope, I'm okay.
I did. Because, okay.
This movie, there's a lot. Let's just be honest. There's a lot that's going on with this movie.
There is a lot that's going on. And I think probably, I want to talk about some of the good things in this movie, because there are some. But, like, probably one of the good things about this is the trailer they put out for this movie. I actually really liked it, and I thought it was going to be, you know, a really fun, like, you know, it's like Jumanji, except not, type movie.
Did you say it's like Jumanji, but it's not? By the way,
it's not.
That Sharknado movie, that was less than 127, the last Sharknado, end of an era. So just for people, for those of us playing at home.
Yeah.
Sorry, wanted to add that.
Yeah, so anyway, no, this trailer, it had, like, the right elements in it for, you know, for me, for what I'm looking for when I want to see, you know, just so, a fun movie.
Well, then that's a great place. I think that's a great place to start. What are you looking for somebody who is who has more of a keen eye for the good qualities of a B movie? What exactly is it that you're looking for that attracts you to certain B movies? Because when I look at a B movie trailer, I'm like, oh my God, I am not watching this dribble. There's no, I do not want to see, why in God's name do I want to see a tornado made with sharks?
Yes, that's exactly what I'm looking
why
for.
Why in the world do I want to see a mechanical shark fighting another shark? Why would I want to see, what was it, a whale wolf or a where, that shark versus, mega shark versus...
Mega Shark versus Colossus? Are you talking about
whatever,
that one?
Any of those
Gonna
things.
Gonna be honest, loved Mega Shark versus Colossus.
This is why you have issues. This is why we need to talk about this. This is therapy. This is an intervention. I got a therapist right outside waiting to come in. As soon as I say the word bungalow, they're going to come in through the door, and we're going to have an intervention about this.
You just said it.
Bungalow.
Oh, gosh.
Bungalow, 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 bungalow.
Stop saying bungalow. All right. No, like, they're... Bungalow, what I'm bungalow, looking
bungalow,
for.
Bungalow, bungalow, bungalow.
Are you done over there?
I'm done.
All right.
I'm done.
I'm looking for mainly two things.
Okay.
One, something that is just insane.
Well, that says a lot. I'm looking for something that's as crazy as me.
Kind of, yeah. Because, like, that's. Like, one of the things this trailer gets right, it puts in a Sharknado. This isn't a Sharknado movie, but they have one.
Well, and because they have access to it, I mean, they're the same studio that produced every single... I thought, at least at one point, I was like, all right, this studio was responsible for the first one.
No, all of them.
No, well,
clearly.
Let me finish my thought process here. I thought that, okay, the Asylum is responsible for the first film, so I can hold them accountable for that. As we did the research through Wikipedia, I found that the Asylum is responsible for all of these films, and now I hate them even more.
Like, I feel like you probably found this out when we were doing the Sharknado review, and then you just forgot it.
No, I didn't even... No. No, I did little to no... I didn't do any prep for that movie other than seeing it.
That is right. Because I remember you made a point about not doing prep for that movie.
Because Chad was the person who kind of curated the conversation, because he was the third party outside observer, because he was smart enough to not see the movie. I was the idiot who decided I need to do my homework. I need to make sure. I shot myself in the foot and saw the movie with you.
Yeah, I was very happy.
I was not. That movie was so filled. Okay, it didn't make any sense. Whatever. We're not doing that review. You want to listen to that review? Go listen to the episode I just said. I don't even remember. Lesson 120 something.
So this was Eddie throughout that entire movie. He was just upset. And, well, honestly, like, you have to go in with, like, just a non-serious mindset.
Then why go see a movie at all?
Well, there's different levels of movie, though. There's, serious ones and then not serious ones.
We actually did an episode on this, on an extra credit episode.
Yes, we did.
Called...
Are you even remembering
No. I'm remembering... that we did an extra credit episode on it, and as soon as I get that one, we'll figure it out and let everybody know. But here's the thing. I wanted to make sure that whatever we were doing at the time when we did that particular review, that I was knowledgeable enough. Now, I wish I hadn't seen it because of just how ridiculous it was. By the way, that is the extra credit episode to be movie or not to be movie. So that was done back in 2018. So if you get a chance, check that up, that episode out. But talking about this, in that same light, I was like, all right, this could be something fun that we do. This could be something that Spencer could really traverse into and really kind of make it his own. And I wanted him to, and I really still do. However, we have probably been over an hour past due our timing schedule to start this episode, and it is well beyond our time that we usually start. So I'm going to pass the ball to Spencer, because I want Spencer to really flex his B-movie muscle, because I want to know. So you started it out, but you didn't really finish. What's the other thing that you look for? Because you said there was two things you look for. You said you look for something that looks insane, and what else?
Yeah, I was about to say that before you interrupted me.
Oh, because this movie's just so...
Jeez, I'm looking for something not serious, like, in its own, like, taking of the movie. And I feel like the Sharknado series was really good in that. Because the first one, okay, they were kind of somewhat serious, but once movie two hits out, they were like, okay, it's whatever. Like, yeah, let's get a whole bunch of people.
In the world did you find any sense of seriousness in the first film? Was it when the shark showed up in that person's house because it flooded? Or the part where the guy literally cuts through a shark in midair with his chainsaw?
No, it was pretty much the early half of the movie where people are all like, ah, there's sharks, we have to get out of here. But, like, it's different than in the other movies. Because they say the same things, but they do it in different ways.
That's because they've gotten more and more people who just want to be in a Sharknado film to show up.
And I feel like it's kind of that, like, everyone's in it and it doesn't really matter mentality that kind of, like, gives it fun. I remember Will Wheaton popped up on an airplane in the second one and was killed by a mini shark. And I was like, that's amazing.
Yeah, you and I have two different definitions of amazing, but okay. So, talking about Ron Kala.
Yes.
So, we got a chance to check out this movie, and it stars a very unique cast. I guess the best thing for right now is just to kind of jump into it. And so, I'm going to go ahead and pass the baton over to you and let you go ahead and take over this conversation.
Okay.
So, here's the baton passing. Here you go. Take it. You got it? There you go.
All right, so...
You do you, boo.
All right. All right, so it starts off with this movie. It's very Jumanji-esque in the fact that it is. It's basically the same like storytelling mechanic of you get sucked into the video game.
To be more specific, the newer Jumanji.
Oh, yes.
Not the old. The newer one. The one where it's now a video game rather than a game board.
Yes.
So just so we can make sure we're not stepping on toes.
Yeah. So,
Robin Williams turning over in his grave.
Okay. Whatever.
How dare you talk about me like that?
Yeah. So, this movie is based more on the video game version of it.
Mm-hmm.
So you've got these three girls who get sucked into a video game after 10 years earlier. The main character's younger brother got sucked in. Yeah, that, I think what I mean by serious can probably be summed up in just the beginning of this movie. This movie is a serious one because it takes a little bit longer than I would normally expect from an asylum film to like just get into Rancala and get them going through the levels.
Yeah, I think this one does take a little bit more time to traverse into the main story plot, like the actual action mm-hmm. points, because this movie does tend to linger a bit on the actual entering of Rancala. And in fact, was the place the place was called Rancala, right? Like the island?
The video game is.
Well, the video game, but I mean like what was Rancala referencing?
That was the name of the island, yes.
Okay, it was the name of the island. Okay. Yeah. So, yes, it did take a little while for it to finally gain momentum and actually have some type of action sequences. But that beginning part did take a little bit. Like, it did take a little bit to pull out of the station.
Right.
So, yeah, it took its time. but it's interesting because it does an exorbitant amount of establishing those three girls. In a sense of like, all right, this is the sister. She really misses her brother.
Mm-hmm.
This is the friend who really, these are the two friends who really have this kind of sexual tension where either they've been friends since high school, but they're still just kind of like catty to each other, but they still care about each other. And there's this unspoken whatever's happening. And then they realize, they have this realization that, oh my gosh, what if, like, I think for me, the realization that Jake was actually in the game and then the realization that Jake was actually in the video game could have happened simultaneously. Like, there was a sense of like, oh, he's still here with us. Let's play this game so it feels like he never left. And then they play the game like, oh my God, he's actually in the game. We gotta go save him. And I felt like that could have been done in a singular swoop as opposed to two swoops.
Also, probably didn't need to call the actual police to be like, there's someone stuck in the video game. Honestly, if I was in the same scenario, I wouldn't have bothered. Because there's okay, even if they believed you, what are they gonna do?
Like, we'll send tech support right now. It's the local local police department, tech department, or whatever, something. But I do think, yeah, that there was a little bit of sense of overkill, but I think a lot of that in my mind feels a little bit more synonymous with these types of B movies, like the overkill. The ridiculousness of it. Like, they all took shots. I really feel like there was actual alcohol in that bottle.
Oh, there was.
There had to be.
No, there was. And that's why that happened.
So they all finally realize they need to, I don't know, plug into the game or something. Or, you know, which slight observation that Spence made. It's a Pac-Man game.
It's a multiplayer Pac-Man game.
Spencer was like, yeah, I've seen that. That's at the coin-op. I've seen
it. I've played it.
So they did a decent, they did a half decent job of trying to cover it up, but it's still recognizable.
You know, I'll give them props on that, like, because they actually replaced the front panels on the Pac-Man game and put in their own custom Rancala panel.
Yeah.
And so those were actually a nice touch, so that was actually pretty cool.
Very nice. But then they finally traverse into the actual game, and yeah, go ahead.
Yeah, from there, they get almost immediately attacked by sharks because a Sharknado has started. Because, of course, it has. It's the Asylum. They still have to let you know they're still around with the sharks and tornadoes.
And I think so, like, because I don't think we need to go into every single detail for this movie.
Yeah, we're not going to, but I don't want to talk about the first bit.
Okay, go ahead.
It kind of sets up, you know, this is what we're doing. You know, they have their shouty man is like, welcome to Rancala. Everything's trying to kill you, blah, blah, blah.
Welcome to Jumanji. Oh, yes. Wrong movie.
Yeah, that guy. They got that, and then their first boss fight is with a Sharknado.
Yep.
So that was actually kind of cool.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, but yeah. Okay.
Yeah, and then they had to punch sharks, and... See, here is where things get weird because they just find out they can do things. Like, one of the girls finds out that she can do kung fu, and I'm like, okay, that's cool.
That's a very much Matrix kind of callback, like, I know kung fu.
Yeah, this movie does a lot of, like, let's take a line from here because it sounds awesome. What was the line that he took from The Lion King again?
Remember who you are.
Yeah, that was said at one
Simba.
Point. It was good.
it was interesting.
Yeah, but anyway, to defeat the Sharknado, one of the girls has a bomb in her bag, and then she turns.
She does like that Olympic,
like Wonder Woman. She like starts spitting in a circle and just tosses the bomb.
Yeah, it was like what are those round iron balls that they throw at the Olympics?
Yeah, that sport.
It was like one of those things. It was like, huh. Okay. All right. Well, I mean, sure.
Yeah, and I was like, how'd she know she could do that? Like, kung fu is one thing, but super spinning strength thing is kind of a different category of of powers.
Now, I do have to admit, one of the things that did at first really kind of surprise me and slightly impress me was the CG work with their in-game HUDs, their in-game display kind of things.
When they first opened one of those menus, I was like, this should pause the game because nobody likes real-time strategy where you open a menu and things are still happening. Like, that's the worst type of game.
I mean, but hey, if this game is like
real.
Then.
It's
I mean,
real, though.
It is. But I have to admit, like, the way it first presented, I was like, yeah, this is actually kind of cool. Like, those graphics are actually pretty legit.
That's because they look like they're from a game of some sort.
That's what I meant. Like, but like, even like the way it tracked with the quote unquote characters as they moved, like,
did it? Because I feel like it didn't.
It did a little bit, but not so much because they didn't move that much in the beginning.
Right.
But I do have to admit that was actually kind of impressive. In terms of the remainder of the film, as we is it drew closer and closer towards like the more action parts of the film, the fact that it was an asylum film really began to show more of its true colors. And here's the thing, like I'm not a big fan, and I'm still am not, of asylum films, but
I could never imagine why, Eddie.
Oh, well, I mean, literally, some of the examples you put in here, I'm just like, no.
I put examples of Sharknado, Mega Shark versus Colossus, which, honestly, that movie is just...
None of those sound good. Like,
that
I don't...
That's a good one.
None of
the
these...
The Colossus is controlled by arm movements. What? It doesn't even make sense. That's
and yet
the worst
this is...
way to control something.
See, here's the funny thing. We were making these notes... Mm-hmm. And I let Spencer take over in doing the notes. I turned away for a second and I looked back. It had said good examples, and then it had these movies under. I said, "Oh no!" I went in and I removed the good because these are not good examples. These are examples of Asylum films, they're not good.
Well,
by any means.
You know, to each his own. And
oh, well, I mean, hey.
Yeah.
No. but, like, the thing is like, what do these things have in common? Like, what, like, just talking about these examples here, Sharknado, Mega Shark versus Colossus, and Three-Headed Shark, obviously you have a thing for sharks, I can tell. But, like,
no,
what...
oddly enough, some of their best ones have to do with sharks.
Some of their best ones have to do with monsters or ridiculous things that have to do with aquatic animals.
Yeah, that seems to be their wheelhouse if it's an aquatic animal. If they get on land, they start to get into trouble.
Well, it's... Like, for me, if I'm looking at these movies, the only one that I've seen out of these three, thank God, is the first Sharknado movie. And I got a chance to speak to the actual original creator of Sharknado, Thunder Levin. And one of the great things about that conversation, he was like, we never really expected anybody to take this seriously.
Mm-hmm.
And the overnight sensation of it all took everybody by surprise. And so it was pretty chaotic, he said, but they never expected Sharknado to be anything more than just a mere sci-fi film, a mere asylum film. And it's in that I feel like that's probably one of the best examples of what an asylum film is. It's a movie that at one point in time wishes that people would take it seriously, but then it gets to a certain point in the film and then it's like, you know what? Nobody's going to take us seriously. And then it just throttles it to about a million in that last third act.
Yes, that's what I'm looking for, too.
Because, like, I have...
What is your 128% insane idea? Put it in the movie.
Which,
that's what makes it good.
And that I think that's kind of like the hidden formula for an asylum film. It presents something that starts out like it could be something decent. and then they get to the point to where something so ridiculous happens that they're like, you know what, whatever, let's drive this puppy over the ledge. And then they amp it to 120 miles per hour and they hop out of the car and they just sit back and watch the explosion. Like, I feel like that's what happened with Sharknado.
Yeah.
And people actually liked the explosion. They're like, we want more.
Because it was an insane The main character goes into a shark with a chainsaw, pulls out another person from that shark when they're climbing out, and that person is intact. What are you even talking about? That's just not even possible.
This is why we don't talk about those
movies. Why I love it. I couldn't even come up with that as an idea because it's so insane.
But I think about those things and I'm like, to be very honest, I don't see much of a difference between those movies and this movie.
Well, see, I think that's the one thing this movie is missing. It's missing its insane moment, really. Like something that's just so wildly out there. That
I mean, there's
like,
a lot of things that were wildly
there,
out there.
There are. And there's a lot of questions I have after seeing it on how specific mechanics of Rancala work. And mostly because there's like this other woman character who shows up near the end of the movie. And she doesn't appear to be part of Rancala. She seems like she's a part of another group of people who played the game in the past. And it's like, how did you get in here? And why weren't you on the opening screen?
Well, here's the thing. So we're talking about a character played by the well-known actress, or at least veteran actress in Hollywood, Bai Ling. In the IMDb page, she's just listed as Challenger.
Yeah.
So I don't know what that means, but...
She has to be from the outside because everyone who's a player in the game has a color code with them. Whatever button the girls hit on the outside of the game, that color follows them throughout the game. One of the girls' colors is purple, and Bai Ling also has the color purple for when she hits things.
Oh, I see what you mean.
Same with the king. He has... the same color as the Lost Brother.
Mm.
Because they're all players at some point.
Okay. Sure.
Like, the movie actually tries to be consistent in that aspect, and I appreciate it.
I mean,
it.
I was going to say, it sounds like you actually appreciate it.
I do, because, like, you know, it's a good way of conveying things without having to spell it out.
Yeah.
So, but yeah, it does get into the problem of, like, you know, how are they in there? Why did the game allow them to stay in there, type thing?
And mind you, I mean, I don't know if the endeavor or the intention was they were going to make this with the possibility of returning to Roncalla, or maybe like sequels. I mean, just like, I mean, the Sharknado thing.
They named
thing.
It the final level, so.
I mean, but, you know.
What do you have after the final level?
The next final level? I mean, literally, Sharknado never ended. I was
no,
like,
the it ended with the last Sharknado. It's about time.
I really don't think it's over.
No, I feel like it's over.
It's not.
Where could they possibly go?
That's what I said after the second one. I'm like,
and
why?
They went all the places after that.
Yeah. They were in space,
yes,
Spencer.
Yes, they were.
Like, I feel like...
Tara Reid fell. She had a shark light on her. She was a robot.
I know. So, about Roncalla.
Yes, about Roncalla.
I mean, you have to admit, despite it being based on an already established film,
mm-hmm.
one of the things you have to know about Asylum is they make movies that are mock versions of well-known films.
They do.
I mean, we've gone through this already several times, like just literally looking at previous films. They've got so much. They have a film called Snakes on a Train,
which is, I think we saw that one.
Which is a ripoff or not, a parody, if you will, or not even parody, because it's not meant to be. It's supposed to emulate Snakes on a Plane. You know, you got things like The Hitchhiker, which is supposed to be an emulation of The Hitcher. You have Transmorphers, which is a version of Transformers.
I don't think I like Transmorphers, if I remember correctly.
I don't really care, because none of these movies... I mean, seriously, they have Paranormal Entity, based on Paranormal Activity. Spence, they have Titanic 2.
I saw Titanic 2. You yeah, need... I remember that one.
No.
That movie was such a dumb idea.
All of these are dumb ideas.
Like, from the point of the movie, people were like, we'll build another Titanic to celebrate the anniversary of the Titanic sinking. Why would you ever do this? Also, did you hear about how the actual Titanic got into another wreck with a submarine? It's wild.
No.
Yeah, that actually happened. That's a real world thing that happened.
So, knowing that Asylum creates these types of movies that are direct they're direct responses or even interpretations from major films that have been made, it makes sense that the final level, Escaping Roncalla, is a rift off of the Jumanji films. We've already stated that. I do think for the time allotted and for everything that it did, I think the story in its whole has a pretty sound idea to it.
It does. As a premise, I feel like it's a good idea.
Yeah, 100%. I feel like the idea itself, the intention, I guess, of this film is very sound. I can see how it could have definitely been an actual well-created film. Like, I feel like it could have been better. I think some of the pitfalls that it does suffer from are some of the acting is a little woody. I know it's so here's the thing. Go ahead.
Well, I think probably for me, the main problem of this movie would be that characters have a tendency of over-talking about whatever they're talking about at that time.
Yeah, there seems to be a little bit more of, like, over-exposition, over-establishing what is happening for the sake of not having the scene actually reveal this, or having it done through not allowing the film to tell the story, but having the actors and actresses telling the story themselves, so that way it can cover more ground.
Yeah, usually, like, when you see that, you expect the movie to be more confusing up front, but this one wasn't. I was following just fine, and so...
Yeah, I think the story itself was simplistic enough to follow. I think, however, some of the actresses did create a little bit of like aloofness when it came to certain scenes, where it's like, I get it, you're establishing this, but, you know, let's kind of keep the momentum going, keep moving. Which is fine. I mean, there was a scene, that one of the scenes that sticks out to me is the scene where the girl is afraid to cross a bridge because there is fish underneath it. This woman has a complete meltdown with tears about fish being under the bridge and not being able to cross it. Now, mind you, I understand phobias. I don't know if there is... I'm pretty sure there is a fish phobia out there. But if it does exist, this woman has it. And they emulate that one scene with Jack Black in the Jumanji movie where, you know, all this stuff is out there, blah, blah, blah. Everything's trying to eat everybody. And then he ends up getting bitten or eaten by a hippo. This is one of those scenes where the girl, her friend, is trying to coax her into coming across the bridge so that way they can go. And then her friend gets eaten by an alligator. Alligator which we never see again, which is fine. However, the girl had spent more tears on not wanting to cross the bridge that was over fish than the fact that her friend just got chomped on by a full-grown alligator and is now dead.
Yeah, she was real whatever about that for a second.
It was
wild because they have a thing for each other too.
Yeah,
I was like, oh, you're not sad about that at all.
Yeah, it seemed a little disjointed in that particular scene. Like, the consistency of emotions wasn't really all there, because yes, I get it, the phobia is real, and you may have a deathly fear of fish, but death literally just happened. And I think there needed to be a much stronger response there. But that's kind of the thing that you expect from asylum films. You don't take that particular aspect too seriously. You have to take everything with a grain of salt. That's what I've learned from you, sadly. And
sadly.
Yeah.
I mean,
the fact that I know that I can't take a film seriously now because of the studio, it's your fault.
Oh, I feel like if anyone's fault, it'd be the asylum, because they're the ones making the movies. Throwing that out there.
I think, though, the fact remains is that in its whole, the idea is sound. I think the execution does meet a little bit of wonkiness, but not just the execution of it. The length of the film. Now, I don't think there's an issue with the length. I just feel like the pacing makes the length feel longer.
Yeah.
Because as we mentioned at the beginning, we were talking about that opening intro and how long it takes to go from the moment Jake is, which is the brother's name, Jake is sucked into the video game to 10 years later and the realization, like, not only are they, because they're opening an arcade, it's the same arcade, whatever, they apparently find the same game that sucked her brother into the game. And from the moment Jake gets sucked into the game to the moment to where they end up in Roncala, that opening really kind of takes its time to establish a lot more exposition than it should. And it does kind of drag a bit.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, which if it added a bit more of like a quicker pace, I think I would have gotten a little bit more along with the story at the beginning.
Mm-hmm.
however, the fact remains is that that particular part does reappear. That particular type of pacing does reappear every now and then. Like, you get this strong momentum, this movie going full-blown forward, and then it stops. And then full-blown forward, and then it slows down to a trot, and then full-blown forward. Which it's not a very, like, systematic breaking system. It's not, like, very systematic But it does create a sense of like of a staccato when you're trying to stay in the groove of it. Mm-hmm. So,
yeah, it's unfortunate.
Well, true, and I think this being because I honestly I don't think I've seen any of the performers in anything prior to this.
Right.
So you have to give credit to where credit is due. You know, the film, mind you, seems like it was a great freshman opportunity for a lot of these performers. You're not used to seeing random people, you know, jump onto the screen and be like, "Hey, check this out! I'm gonna knock it out of the park." Like, usually everybody has their, you know, their moments and whatnot, and it's okay. You know, this is one of those films where you definitely have to take everything with a grain of salt. So, it does take a little bit of time to kind of delve into the more actiony scenes. And let's be honest, some of these performers, they legitimately had their moments. Like, I think Jessica Chancellor really did a decent job as the lead actress of the film. She did a very decent job, especially this being one of her first major films. Tiana Tuttle, who plays Ray, she did well enough as well.
Yeah, she was pretty good.
You know, the three girls, they did well enough to work off of each other. I do have to say, however, I was not a fan of the choreography, because it did seem like at one point in time, the choreography, the fighting sequences felt like a little bit like how me and my brother would fight in the backyard and pretend to play Power Rangers. Like, it felt a little bit like I should have had my morpher with me. And like,
yeah, no, there is, like, especially during the fight sequences, there's something about this that's just Power Rangers-esque.
Yeah, I mean, it's a little wonky, and it's a little, like, you can tell there wasn't maybe the most amount of time that could have been spent on the fight sequences. However, the gist of it came across, mm-hmm. which is great. You know, that's what you want out of, you know, these types of films and their action sequences. So, you know, it is what it is, you know. But I think getting to the nitty gritty of it all, you know, with this film, does the film constitute a well enough, you know, reaction from you to be considered a decent B movie?
So, for me, no, because I need a little bit more than what this movie gives. Like, it's like halfway there, but like this movie kind of needs, like, you know, a pivot, like near the end. Like, you know, from like the beginning of this movie to the end, it was pretty much what they stated it was going to be. You know, my brother's trapped in here. He's at the king's war camp. We need to go get him. And so we need to beat the king. And, you know, they went and they beat the king and then got out of there. Like, you know, great twist would be her brother's the king or something, and she has to fight her brother and, like, drag him out of Rancala or something. Like I needed just a little more for the end bit for this to be like a really good one.
Mm-hmm. So you're saying it didn't stick the landing?
Yeah. Like, yeah. This movie was kind of just really, you know, it said what it was at the beginning, and that's what you get.
Okay. So here's the thing.
Mm-hmm.
My mindset is always on the idea that this is, that all B movies are bad. Like, I feel like the term B movie stands for bad movie. So I feel like anytime I'm thinking about a bad movie,
mm-hmm.
I'm thinking about a B movie.
Okay.
And so when it comes to movies like this, I do have to admit, I am not a fan to any of these. and I say that with all earnestness. Like, I don't enjoy cringing as much as I do when I watch movies like this. Now, with that said, this was not a typical Asylum film. This was not focused on what kind of grotesque or ridiculous experimentation laboratory concoction, you know, breaking out and fighting some other god-awful, you know, abomination from hell. Like, it didn't have to do with that. Like, I'm a huge kaiju fan. Mm-hmm. I love those types of movies, and the fact that a lot of the Asylum films just poop on those, like, crap continuously on them, it hurts a lot. So I say that to say this one seemed a little bit different, and I liked how much it did play a level of recognizing and giving recognition to some of the facets of gaming that we always kind of tend to overlook in most of these movies. Like recognizing, hey, you need to boost up your strength, you need to boost up your dexterity, you need to boost up your intelligence when you're gaming, when you're land gaming, or when you're, you know, when you go into when you're doing different games with friends and you're playing online, you know, you recognize, all right, we're working as a team, you need to work on this, you need to grab this, you need to get this. That's understandable. That happens.
Yeah, I'll admit, like, there was a part in this movie where the girls were, like, strategizing. Okay, you do this, you do that. I was like, that's interesting that they're actually, you know, playing the game.
Yeah, and that's, like, that makes a lot of sense to me. That's like, oh, cool. Like, I can get behind that. That's cool. For me, it screams B-movie. Like, this movie feels like a B-movie. Because I don't like most B movies, mm-hmm. because they tend to irk me. And this one, I think maybe for the fact that it wasn't about a big beast, I could get behind it.
The only reason you get behind it is because it didn't have a big monster.
Exactly. I didn't have to worry about, like, the Sharknado aspect. I thought I was going to hate this movie. If the Sharknado showed up again at the end of the movie, I would definitely have dropped this movie like a sack of potatoes. I've been like,
that's because it would have made no sense.
Most of these movies don't make sense at all. So, but I think the fact that it actually gave us a story, and then it did something at the end that was really unique. We're not going to give it away, but you can check it out for yourself if you're so brave. The film ends off with something that's unique. It doesn't usually do that in most of these types of movies, but this one did. Hey, you know, fortune favors the bold, maybe. Who knows? And it definitely traverses into area that... you know, it's not really traversed into. So, you know, yeah.
Yeah, I don't know what that was supposed to mean at all.
Well, the way the film ends and the way...
This film ended with, like, way too many questions.
Well, true, yeah. But, I mean, the whole way of that, the way that ends, mm-hmm. I don't think I've seen a film do that in terms of the way... this movie ends. I'm trying to figure out a better...
I know.
I don't want to give it away, but I'm saying, like, this movie has a very interesting ending, and it was like, okay, that was kind of interesting because you've seen these types of movies before, and it's like, oh, well, normally when that happens, then these things happen, and...
You know, you're talking about what happened to the king?
Yeah, well, what happened to everything.
Okay.
So, but yeah, I mean, would I want to see this again? Probably not. Because I'm not a big fan of these types of movies. The Asylum, I'm not a normal fan of, but hey, you know, it is what it is. So yeah, I mean, I guess wrapping this whole thing up.
Yeah, I guess the question here is this a thing we would recommend for people to see? And really just depends on the type of person you are. If you are, you know, a Sharknado diehard, and you've delved into a few other things from the Asylum, and you're like, maybe I will see a few more. Then I'll be like, yeah, maybe check this one out.
You make the Asylum sound like they're a drug peddler. If you've dabbled into a couple other, there's stuff that they give out to the kids these days.
But like, if you're like Eddie and you saw Sharknado, or just the idea of it infuriates you, maybe don't, because. You know, you want to take the Marie Kondo approach. Does this spark joy?
Does this spark... what?
And if it doesn't for you, it doesn't for you, you know?
Oh, my God. He actually went there.
I did.
In terms of does it pass or fail?
Oh, are we doing all that?
Sure, let's do that.
Oh, dear.
In terms of does it pass or fail as a B movie? Because I think we technically did this already just right now.
Yes.
So you said it didn't. I said it did. So let's jump to the ratings. How many monocles would you give it out of five? With the mindset that it is a B movie.
Even with that mindset, I'll give it a 2.
Okay, out of 5.
Yes.
So that's essentially a 4 out of 5. Okay, a 4 out of 10. Gotcha. Yes.
I don't know what you just told me.
You know what? It is late. We have been at this all night.
Okay. Okay, what about your rating?
I would give it a 2 as well. I would say this film is not as bad as Sharknado. However, there's still a lot to be built upon. And I definitely did not find myself like wanting to walk out during the movie. I did find myself kind of getting a little frustrated at times. However, it was because of certain
lightly.
But I think this movie definitely is a great stepping stone. This is going to be one of those movies where people do find themselves, the actresses to be specific, and maybe some of the actors find themselves like, hey, this was where I started, this is where I'm at, you know, and you know, life's a journey kind of thing.
Yeah, life is a journey.
So, but yeah.
All right, well, that's been another fantastic episode. That was good. You can check us out on our social pages at facebook.com/filmlosophers and on Twitter and Instagram at filmlosophy101. Also, real quick reminder, we are still having our trivia night on March 9th. Check out the details on our events page on Facebook. Make sure you pre-register because already I'm hearing lots of buzz, so I have a feeling slots are going
to
go fast.
We were literally at your house yesterday, and we mentioned it to your roommate. He is already planning and plotting how to take over and win. He already has 5 people.
He already has 5 people. He's ready to go.
Oh my gosh! Well, I mean, we're gonna have some great prizes, and it's gonna be fun. So you know, don't miss out. It is the office themed, and your roommate, our friend, your roommate is a huge the office nerd.
Yeah, he's kind of the person I'm putting my money on because he watches The Office. And
not
loves
that,
it.
Not that we're biased and we're going to try to make it.
Yeah, you know, no, this is
Spencer's
honestly,
not Pete Rosing this thing. We're not trying.
He's not going to know anything. I'm not going to do anything around him. It's fine. So
well,
anyway,
that's good to know.
On that note, this has been the Filmlosophers. I'm Spencer.
I'm Eddie,
and we'll catch you next time.
Class dismissed.